The space race among billionaires and their companies is getting a little less crowded. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Virgin Orbit has filed for bankruptcy. The company owned by Richard Branson was trying to launch satellites in a cool way, but there's been a series of failures, including a doomed mission in January. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, Virgin Orbit says it's not able to raise enough new capital, David, to continue to operate after a failed rocket launch in January. It's still hoping that the technology it developed will find a buyer, though. And the premise for its technology is that it allows rockets carrying satellites to be launched from anywhere you can operate a major airliner. The company figured out how to use a modified Boeing 747 jumbo plane with a rocket launcher attached to it. So the plane can take off from pretty much anywhere there's a major airport, right? Fly high up and launch the rocket. The company says it successfully launched 33 satellites into orbit this way.
Yeah, but it wasn't any match for the company's competition.
Yeah, so Virgin Orbit uses relatively small rockets because, of course, they're connected to a plane. Elon Musk's SpaceX uses a much bigger delivery rocket, and it's reusable. And apparently that has been more attractive to customers. SpaceX has also sent astronauts into space already. It's reportedly currently valued at well over $130 billion. For Virgin Orbit, it's not even close. Right now, it has a market value of about $65 million. But it's important to note, David, that Virgin Orbit is only rockets and satellites. There's a separate Virgin Galactic, which is focused on taking people into space. They are still operating, and they currently have a market value of about $1 billion.
All right. Thank you. The CEO of Disney has sharply criticized Governor Ron DeSantis, who's been punishing the entertainment conglomerate for objecting to the Florida law dubbed Don't Say Gay. DeSantis has been working with Florida legislators to limit Disney's special tax and land use status in a state where Disney, with its theme parks, employs 75,000 people there. At a shareholder meeting yesterday, the Disney chief, Robert Iger, called DeSantis's move, quote, anti-business and anti-Florida, saying Disney has a right to free speech just like individuals. A spokesman for Florida governor says Disney continues to fight for special benefits and to dodge state law. Today is a grim anniversary of a terrible moment in U.S. history. 55 years ago today, civil rights giant the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed by an assassin at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. The nation and the world grieved. For the King family, the stresses and the trauma continued across generations. Now, experts study the health costs of stress in the context of racial inequity. Lee Hawkins is exploring the topic. He's a colleague who has a podcast in development for our APM Studios branch and is finishing his book, Nobody's Slave, How Uncovering My Family's History Set Me Free. Hey, Lee.
Hey, how are you?
55 years since the terrible events of Memphis, you've been reflecting on the stresses experienced by Dr. King's extended family, really even into new generations. Trauma preceded the assassination and new traumas followed for family members. It just goes on.
Yes. And the fact that Dr. King's brother drowned just a few years after his assassination, and then his mother was also assassinated while she was playing the organ at church in Ebenezer Baptist Church. And at the time, the kids, the King kids, were just children. And so to lose Dr. King, their uncle, and also their beloved grandmother really was something that put a lot of stress on the kids from a young age. And as a result of that, there were a lot of health implications.
Yeah, I mean, you know, post-traumatic stress, the word stress is in there, but it's really trauma that is the most evocative word in that phrase.
I think so. And as you're seeing, racism is now being deemed a public health crisis. The effects of accelerated aging are being studied in the context of racism by experts all over the country. And I thought that it was important to interview the King family about the impacts of that and the fact that so many people died early as a result of heart attacks. Dr. King's daughter, Yolanda, died at age 51. His brother, AD, had five kids. Three of them died of heart attacks, including one that died at age 20. When that happened, there were many other King family members who went in to get tested, and they found out that many of them had heart complications. And now it could be genetic as well, because Dr. Martin Luther King, when they did the autopsy on him, it turned out that he had a heart of a 60-year-old and he was only 39 years old. And so it raises serious questions about the impact of racism.
And this research that's actually going on in this field, I think you did a podcast with experts pulled together by the famed Mayo Clinic. I think the overarching theme was racial health equity, but you heard biological evidence that trauma, post-traumatic stress, and other stresses can age people more quickly.
Yes, indeed it can. In the scientific community, there's a real push to start to collect data about people's patient profiles and get ahead on the possibility to prevent some of these illnesses. We do know that chronic stress from childhood, adverse childhood experiences, having four or five or more of those can significantly increase the likelihood of a person dying 20 years earlier. So to be a young child and go through that, it wouldn't be surprising for someone to have a long-term effect and impact after all of that trauma.
Lee Hawkins, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, David.
Look for Lee's new podcast from our APM Studios branch coming out in early 2024 about the intergenerational effects of slavery and Jim Crow segregation, along with the release of his book, Nobody's Slave, How Uncovering My Family's History Set Me Free. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.